Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord is mightily moving. He's going about doing good. He loves us so much. Every soul is so precious to him, and people are precious to me. Anybody I can help. You know, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, there are so many people hurting, and you anointed me. And I don't want to be near somebody that need to know you or I can be a blessing to and be like ships in the night. You know, ships on the ocean, ships in the night. You, the curvature of the earth, you know, you can't see but so many miles out. I forgot how many. I remember at our Gulf Shores, I couldn't see the oil derrick in the daytime. But at night, I could see the lights from it. And my brother-in-law back then, Randall, told me that it was about 30 miles out. But in the daytime, you couldn't see it. But at night, you could see it. So at night, ships could easily miss each other and not see each other. And that's what I mean by ships in the night. Years ago, I was at work, and I prayed. I said, Lord, if there's anybody that, you know, that I see every day, I pray that you'll open a door for me to minister to them. Because I didn't want to be like ships in the night. Every now and then, somebody would come and confide in you, and, you know, they'd ask me personal questions. They'll want God's help in their life. And sometimes people would end up in a... I would end up in a conversation with others that really blessed them, and they really blessed me. See, the Lord is about to return. Strange things are going to happen once the rapture happens. And I know this. And I've had the Lord to wake me up and pray for people, or he'll wake me up, give me a dream about people, or just tell me what to say to people that I know and love. And sometimes people I haven't seen in many years, I'll contact them and tell them what the Lord said. And so recently, even this year, I thought about some of those things, how the near misses, you know, people are around you and you want to be a blessing to them. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. You know, it just depends on how receptive people are and whether they'll hear you or not. Then I have a lot of people I know, and then as I learn, I try to share, but they don't seem interested. So, and it, not that they're bad people, but some people are hungrier. Some people are just not hungry for the Word of God anymore. And some people are hungry for whatever it is they're after. You know, I don't know. But ministry is a puzzling thing. It can puzzle you sometimes. And some people are hungry, and you know, they enjoy talking about the Lord. Some people are in a hurry. They'd rather be doing something else, I guess. But anyway, I said, Lord, help me be covenant appropriate. Help me be easy to talk to. Help me to, you know, it's hard for me to break the ice with people. But I don't have time for those things that hold us back. That's why I prayed and said, Lord, help me be covenant appropriate. Help me be in agreement with you. Help me do all that's in your heart. Because anytime I wanted to tackle something that looked too big for me, I always asked my Father to help me. Even though I have authority and even though I have faith, I rely on him. Jesus said, without me, you could do nothing. So, and I learned that timing is important, just as important as what you're saying. If you say something out of season, it may not work right. People may, you know, but if you wait on the Lord, then he'll give you what to say, and it'll be precise, it'll be on time, it'll be in time, and everything with God is well evaluated. That's why I yield to him. Now, I know for a fact that God is up to something good. And I also know for a fact that if people would get down to business with God, God would be more than happy. Even, and he will definitely not miss an opportunity to be a blessing to people when their heart is receptive. So, when the Lord, I try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit at all times, no matter what I want to do, I yield to him. And when I see a need, I say, Lord, what's my wisdom? If he says nothing, then I don't just go and do things anymore. I wait. Because one night he told me that, pray for the people I put on your heart. And if there's somebody I want to pray for, or I want to start a conversation with, I seek the Lord first. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean out unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So if I see something going on and I want to help, I run it by the Lord first. If it's in my power to do somebody a blessing, I'll do it. But now, I'm going to be honest. I don't stop and everybody that's panhandling and asking for money on the side, I don't always give them money. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Now, my wife, if the traffic is stopped and she got a few dollars, she's going to give them some money. But I don't always do that because for different reasons. But sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I know God don't mind if you bless people. I'm not saying that I just try to be sensitive to him. And sometimes I don't give it to him because I just don't have any in my pocket. I try to keep cash in my car, a few dollars for fast food or snacks and also to help people if they need it. But sometimes that money is spent and, you know, if I have it, I'll be glad to help. But there are many people with needs around you, but I'm talking about the ones that God will get involved with. Some people will hear the word and forget it. But some people, the Lord wants their attention. So it's very important to stay yielded. Now, Elder Lewis said years ago, he was a pastor I had in the 80s, all the way up to 1990. He preached a message one time. It was so good. He said, get down to business with God and he'll get down to business with you. Because the Lord is looking for people that he can bless. Now, and I know that he will. Now, there are some people out there. There are many wonderful people out there that just love God. They want to do right. They're not trying to make a name for themselves. They're not trying to upstage somebody. They're not trying to get over on others. They're not greedy. But they take God serious and all that he has to say. He takes it serious. They take it serious. So when they minister to others, they take God so serious, and God is with them, and God blesses people by them. And these are wheat. They are wheat. They love God. They're not trying to do anything wrong. And they contend for the gospel. And now years ago, when I started seeking the Lord, I knew about Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. I used to listen to Kenneth Copeland every day in 84. I worked on a car lot in those days, and I would listen to DJC, and he was coming on the radio broadcast, and I listened to Kenneth Hagin and Charles Capps. Those were three that I would listen to. Now, Kenneth Copeland didn't stay on in Birmingham. Later on, after I got called to the ministry, I didn't hear him as much on the radio. Now, and I would see him on TV sometime, but I didn't have cable in those days, so it was a rare occasion I would get to hear Brother Copeland. But what I'm trying to say is this. When the Lord gave me messages, it was wisdom. It was full of love. It was pure. It wasn't like the sometimes church doctrines can have laws and bylaws and things that they, you know, their pet doctrines being preached. That's true. And sometimes they may be true, and sometimes it's kind of out of context, and it causes problems. So as Kenneth Hagin was going forward learning things correctly, and he was, I read his books, and whenever God gave me a message, it was always perfect, and it always made sense. But every message didn't always make sense. Sometimes it didn't have enough wisdom in it. And I can explain that, you know, sometimes, even in holiness churches, sometimes they would preach bondage, and you had to keep these regulations that were not God. They were out of context. You know, women can't wear pants, makeup, jewelry, things like that. The guys can't play sports, go to movies, drink coffee, you know. Some of those things are not true. That's just how it is. But I said, if I'm going to, in 87, I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm not just going to preach what everybody's preaching. I'm going to do it the safe way, because I didn't know some things just wasn't settled in my heart. And I said, I'm going to let God give me a message, and I'm going to preach the message he gave me. I'm not going to add to it or take away from it. And when I finish speaking what he gave me, I'm going to shut up. Because I didn't want to just parrot things that's giving people trouble. I wanted to speak what the Holy Spirit gave and learn from it. And that was my strategy. Because I knew I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't feel qualified. But the Lord called me. A year before he called me, he anointed me. And then he finally called me. And I couldn't get out of it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't feel qualified. Until he gave me my first message. When he gave me my first message, I was interested. Now, I took ministry very seriously. I was, what year was that, 87? I would have been 25 years old. And he called me. I was 24. I turned 25. I didn't preach till that November. That was my first message. We must believe God. My parents came. My Methodist parents came to a holiness church. My daddy spoke. I'll never forget it. He spoke what Paul wrote to Timothy, admonishing him, you know, the way Paul admonished Timothy. Speak the word in season. I love that. I cherish that moment, you know. And then I preached a message saying we must believe God. That was my first message. And I think my second message was we're safe. I got it on tape somewhere. It's amazing. But anyway, I didn't feel qualified. I said, well, Lord, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to only speak what you give me. I'm not going to say anything else. After that, I stop. If God put another thought on my heart, as long as it was coming from the Holy Spirit, I'd speak. And I wrote my note. I used notes a lot in those days. And I said, now, I'm not compromised. These are a few things that I just decided I was going to do. I said, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to say what everybody is saying and what they seem to want to hear. I'm going to preach what God gave me. I'm going to say that, no more, no less, and I'm going to shut up. So I did that, and I started learning concepts that I never knew before, and it was by the Holy Spirit. And then when I became a minister, I listened to Kenneth Hagin more than I used to. Because I heard him teach things that I was not hearing others say. Now, Elder Lewis would say a lot of things that Kenneth Hagin taught. But Kenneth Hagin taught, he had conversations with Jesus. And that really got my attention. Now, Elder Lewis did too. But Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin. And I didn't buy his books because in those days I had enough money to pay my bills and pay tithes. And I always wanted to buy the books, but I just, my first year of business was 86, and everything that I got that I didn't have to buy bills with, I bought tools with. And it's, I spent a lot of money on tools and then a lot of money fixing my truck. I just didn't spend, you know, I'm just telling you what happened. I should have bought the books. I should have bought the tapes for myself, but I did not. I bought tools because I was working every day, and you know, I was trying to make enough money to pay all my bills, which I did, and buy gas. And the way I thought about the way I handled business was much different than it is now. I would be working on a car, and I need a special socket. You know, it was a big one, and I didn't have anything to. I didn't have the socket I needed, and I couldn't go any further till I went to the store and bought a new socket. Now, when you buy them individually, they're much higher. When you buy a set, it's cheaper. But I didn't, and some of these sockets I bought, I wouldn't even use it for another month or two. So, but I had to have it, and I didn't have anybody I could borrow it from, so I had to go buy it. So I would have to stop working, go fix another car, buy the tool, come back with the socket the next day or that evening, and then I'd finish my job and get paid. And sometimes my customers would, they didn't have all the money, and I had to go fix another car to make the difference, and until they paid, you know, it was something else. But I made it, you know. And I did well the first year and the second year. I didn't do as well the second year because the chain stores opened and everybody wanted those cheap parts that they were selling. And so a lot of time I had all kinds of situations. So I didn't, the short version is I didn't buy the books. But when Kenneth Hagin came on the radio, I listened. I made it my business to be at that radio when I knew he was coming on. If I was at the customer's house, I turned my radio up, rolled my window down, and made sure I listened. I tried to eat lunch listening to Kenneth Hagin and Charles Capps when I could. And I didn't miss the broadcasts very much. It was very rare that I missed a broadcast. But what attracted me to Kenneth Hagin, the kind of logic that God would give me when he gave me a message. I heard the same kind of logic when Kenneth Hagin talked. And not only that, others like Frank Matchin and Charles Capps, of course. He taught confessions mostly. And then Scott Webb and Kenneth Copeland. I heard him before, but he wasn't on the radio after I got called to preach. So. But I knew who he was. I'm saying all this to say this. When God raised up people that will speak his voice and not compromise, it's different from what the religious culture believes. And I also remember that they got a lot of mail trying to correct them to go back to the cold religious ways. And then they falsely, they accused the gospel of being a prosperity gospel as if you just after money. Now, I listened to all these men of God, and what they were teaching was and is, God is with you, God will bless you, it's God's will to heal you, bless you, teach you, so that you can be wise, so that you can prosper and be a blessing to others. And not only that, even prosper with the intent to be a blessing to others. And they use their own testimonies then and now to inspire people to take God seriously in the plan that he has to bless us. Many wonderful you know, because of the way people taught, just like Paul told Timothy, the way of truth would be evil spoken of, and it was. So people would tell people that it was just a prosperity gospel. And everything that God told Adam in the first place, if you go back to Genesis, he said, be fruitful. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. There's nothing in that that suggests even remotely that Adam should be poor. Everything God told Adam to do was progressive. It was covenant progressive. And I remember around, I guess it was 91 or 92, it was after the Lord started dialoguing with me. Because, what I mean by that is I'd pray and he'd answer me. There was no gap time. I'd ask him a question, he'd tell me, he'd respond. Just like I'm talking to somebody, you know, my wife. I'm talking to her and she talked to me. Well, I talked to the Lord always talked to me. And what made that possible, I obeyed him. He told me to read 15 chapters a day. But I didn't do it quite like he said, but he worked with me anyway. He told me to read 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. I heard him say that. And I speak English, he speaks English, I heard him, I know what he said. So I read 5 in the morning. I would not leave the house till I finished those 5 chapters. It had to be a real emergency for me to leave my house without reading 5 chapters. And I don't believe I ever did. Excuse me. Not only that, I would pray and read those chapters and ask questions and talk to them between those 5 chapters. Sometimes I might spend 20, 30 minutes on one verse. Now, I was trying to get moving. I wanted to start working before it got hot in the summer. And in the winter, I wanted to go ahead and get it over with. So I was in a hurry to leave and go to work. But I did read those 5 chapters. And I usually left the house before 8 o'clock and sometimes after, depending on what the Lord was telling me. In the middle of the day, I always listened to the radio at lunch. And I rarely read 5 chapters in the middle of the day. A few times I stopped and obeyed it, or did like the Lord told me. But at night I would read 10 chapters and I would not go to sleep until I read those 10 chapters. And then it got to the point the Lord would pick the chapters. Some were long, some were short. And if he spent an hour on a verse, he just spent an hour, finished 10 chapters before I went to bed. And sometimes I'd be so tired, I'd walk in the living room. You can't go to sleep walking around. So I'd turn the light on and just walk and read the word till I got those 10 chapters in. Then I'd go to bed. And I'd take a shower first, the shower kind of wake me up. When I come in from work, first thing I want to do is get cleaned up. I don't like to eat till I get cleaned up. But I'm older now. I can't get away with that. I have to eat earlier because I started gaining weight. And I never gained weight till I got, I turned 59 this year. I make sure I eat around 6 o'clock or 7 instead of 9 and 10. But I would get those chapters in before I went to sleep. Then the Lord, I was worshiping the Lord and he started talking. And I said, Lord Jesus, don't go nowhere. Because he revealed his presence. I wanted his presence to stay revealed. And he was talking to me, and I heard him, and I asked questions, and he answered. I asked some more, he answered that, and it never stopped. Now, I thought he was going to stop, but I was scared to watch TV for 2 years. I thought he would stop talking, but he didn't. See, the Lord is good. And now, I'm saying all this to say that when people yield to him and hear him out and do what he say do, it works. It's amazing how well it works. But see, for so long, people have been taught things the wrong way, half truth, no truth, misconceptions, And so when the truth comes, just like when Jesus came to Israel and Judah, the people weren't used to it on that way. But the multitudes ran out and got it. See, Jesus said that the fields are white. They're ready to be picked. The wheat kernels turn white. Cotton turns white. Barley is a light color, I believe. So, in other words, there are people out there that would love to know God. And when the truth is spoken, people respond. And so the tares, they poison the minds of anybody they can. The devil and his bunch, they don't want that kind of progress to go forward. Now, I got a few scriptures. I'm saying this because the man of God that obeyed him, Kenneth Hagin, he was very instrumental in teaching us faith. Oral Roberts, healing. A.A. Abrams, healing. Kenneth Copeland, faith and healing. Kenneth Hagin, healing. They demonstrated the miraculous power of God towards man. I said, and I closed with last broadcast. I closed talking about Henry Groover, how they were worshiping God, calling for, in the song that they were singing, they were calling for the glory to come down. And Henry Groover was about to preach. But they were calling for the glory to come down. But the Lord interrupted. He said, tell them to stop. And when Henry Groover finally told the people to stop it, he said it louder than he intended to, they stopped. He said, you're asking for the glory to come down, and half of the people are in sin. They'll die. See, remember, the holiest of holies is where God's glory would be. And the priest could go in there. He had to be right with God. If he was not, he had to have a rope tied to his foot and bells at the end of his garments. So the other priests, when they didn't hear the bells, they drag him out. Now, the prayers of God's people avail much. I can see what Henry Groover said and why the Lord did it that way. Well, in the glory, if you're not right with me, if you got sin in your life, you will die. So what happened? They prayed with the people and ministered to them. Henry Groover didn't even get a chance to preach. But he found out years later that he left after a few hours. The Lord told him he was done and he left. A revival broke out. He didn't even know it till 20 years. I forgot how many years later. But many years later, he found out that a revival broke out because of that. Now, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin. And the glory cloud came and he saw it. And everybody that touched it would fall out. But they didn't die. In that situation, the people were pure. That's why the glory came. They didn't ask for it, unless I don't think they asked for it. But the glory appeared, the glory cloud, and they just fell out. They were right with God. They didn't have sin in their life. Now, I want to say this: the man of God every man of God that trusts and obey God and speak His word. Right now, especially those generals, all those years, they caused so many people not only to prosper and be in health soul-wise, but also naturally. There are many millionaires because of the teachings of these men that I just mentioned. Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, Scott Webb, Frank Matchin, Creflo Dollar. All of them, and everybody who preached the word, they got miracles they talk about. People, but some people get it. They hear it, receive it, and they act on it. And they start prospering more and more. My pastor paid off, they paid a church off, I forgot how many years it was, but within a few years, they paid $1 million building off. And he sold $200,000 worth of dirt. Don't tell me what God can't do. when you obey God, people prosper, and they'll still prosper. And there's no reason for people to miss out. I want you to know, listen to Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem," well, Jesus said, verse 36, "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." Now watch this. "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." The heart of God, he wanted to gather his people together. But the tares caused people not to believe and to believe amiss. Now God told King Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. See, Asa won many, he won a great victory a few more than, you know, he won a great victory. When he counted on the Lord, when he was in covenant, he counted on the Lord and he trusted the Lord and he had victory. But he got to a point, he tried to get the pay the king of Syria to help him. And so the prophet came to him and said this. Let's see, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 1. "In the 36th year of King Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria," his enemy. I added that part, his enemy, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, sent captain.